Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 58 of the Premier Football Podcast. With me, Hyrule here. You're listening to the podcast where we talk about everything about football and everything around football, coming to you from Singapore. And today I've got Cal with me. Hey Cal.
Hey, what's up?
And returning to the podcast is Ewan. Hey Ewan.
Hey Hyrule, hey Cal.
First things first, we missed you for our first podcast of 2022 last week.
Yeah.
So how's the year been for you so far? I mean, it's only 10 days in, but yeah, tell us, how's it been?
Well, so far, so good personally. For Blackburn Rovers, not so great. Just got knocked out of the FA Cup over the weekend. But better to lose, I think, in the FA Cup than in the Championship and jeopardize their promotion chances. In a sport that I greatly follow as well, outside of football, tennis. We have our good friend Novak Djokovic trying to get into Australia, and you know, somehow Novak, the government wanting to to kick him out. Of course, he just recently, as of our recording, he just won the court case and has been allowed to stay in Australia. So good for him, but I guess a lesson for all athletes, especially elite athletes who think they can, you know, just cross over into a country and willy-nilly, especially if they haven't had the vaccine. They're not above the law.
I think there hasn't been much, you know, crossing of borders for most of the football players that we follow, right? And I think a lot of the international tournaments are on hiatus, except for maybe, you know, the AFCON Cup of Nations, right? Yep. But we'll talk about that maybe later on. But first things first, Ewan, I think you've got some things about the FA Cup that's been on your mind, especially that, you know, Blackburn's got knocked out in the third round.
Right. You know, but the funny thing was that they had a whole slew of third round matches over the weekend. But, and you know, and the only reason I went to look for what was going on was the lack of action from the English league, because you could see the German leagues. The German league was on, La Liga was on, but no EPL, right? So I was wondering what's going on and had to dig really deep. And I found out that it was FA Cup weekend, and that's the reason why. So, you know, I had a question for you guys, and I don't know how you guys feel, but, you know, FA Cup definitely has lost some of its luster compared to the leagues. And especially with the bigger cups like the Champions League and the Europa League very much at the forefront. You know, I was wondering, especially for you guys, you know, supporting big teams like Liverpool and Chelsea, has it lost some of its, you know, the glam factor? I remember in the 80s, if you win the FA Cup, it's a big deal. But nowadays, if your team doesn't win the league, wins the FA Cup, you know, it can almost sometimes, unfortunately, Qatar's not here with us. It almost can be considered a sort of second-class title.
After Arsenal's loss. Exactly.
Yeah.
Incidental, whenever Arsenal loses, Hatan's not here. Let's see.
So what do you guys think? Especially Cal, you know, with a team on high-octane, you know, well-drilled, and, you know, a team that is such a full squad that expected to win, you know, the bigger trophies, the EPL, the Champions League. If you guys don't achieve that in a season, you only, and I say this only with inverted commas, win the FA Cup. Is that enough for a team of Chelsea stature?
I mean, we've gone seasons without winning the FA Cup. And to me, I think the FA Cup is still one of the most beautiful competitions out there, because, you know, you've seen like giant killing a team who's leading halftime against Liverpool and get the first goal against Liverpool and that very sea celebration as well. It kind of lets the smaller teams have a good payday, have a good try. Imagine playing for Chesterfield and all of a sudden you're playing to Stamford Bridge. You know, and you're playing the home of the European champions. And I think to me, the FA Cup is something that I always love, because in terms of memories, it's always that Roberto Di Matteo goal against Middlesbrough. You know, that one heck of a strike and hit the bar, across the other bar and goes in. So to me, the FA Cup is something very important. And I think it just lost its luster because Champions League and the Premier League is they're such machines. They're like money-making machines, they're advertising machines, and they put all their stars across. But if you look at the essence of the FA Cup, I know you can chip in here. I remember when Liverpool played the FA Cup, they came in their Spice Boys outfit, the all cream white. You know, these are the memories where you used to, as a kid back in the 90s.
Can I choose not to chime in on that?
No, but even the Africa gave us some of the greatest moments, like that whole strike by Gerrard against West Ham. You know, people still to this day, right? And the FA Cup, you know, you can see the teams come down in their suits, walk on the pitch for a bit at the old Wembley, and all these things. So for me, it's still something that I hold very dear. I think it's a hell of a tournament to win, because you're playing through you're playing through different leagues, and different challenges come your way if you're playing away as well in those grounds that are not up to your Stamford Bridge or Anfield standards. So to me, I still think it's important. It's part of English football culture, and it's always an upset here and there, which we've seen, right? And this most recent round with Newcastle losing and Arsenal losing as well. So yeah, it's still important. It's still an important trophy for Chelsea.
And Hyrule, what do you think, though? I mean, it's been a while since we've seen one of the smaller teams, I guess, win the FA Cup. It doesn't happen so often. When it does, of course, for that team and that team supporters, it's significant. But for a team like Liverpool, of course, you know, is the FA Cup, you know, something that Jurgen Klopp would say they need to win? Of course, if there are, you know, chance at the league and no chance at the Champions League, of course, they would want to win that. But let's say they are in the running for all competitions. Would you consider that, a title of less significance, I suppose?
I think it all boils down to what tournaments the teams are in still at that point in time, like when the match comes around, right? The good thing about the FA Cup is FA Cup matches tend to happen on normal match days. That means on weekends, lah. They take the place of a league game. So that sort of gives the team proper time to prepare for that match. It's also almost like, you know, preparing for another match, as opposed to the League Cup, which happens on a weekday, right? And a lot of Premier League teams, especially those who are playing in Europe, complain that it's a bit of a bother because there's not so much prestige to it. You don't get as much prize payout from it as well. And it's right smack in the middle of two crucial Premier League games, possibly. Yeah, I think it's justified if a team gives, a Premier League team especially, gives importance to the FA Cup, be it, you know, how it's scheduled, the history behind the FA Cup. And also, a lot of us don't realize it. I mean, especially those who are over here in Singapore, in Asia, right? That how much importance it's placed to the fans in the UK, because it's the opportunity for the smaller teams, the fans of the smaller teams, to experience a big match. You know, visit the stadiums of one of the big leagues. You know, the big league teams, one of the top Premier League teams, and experience the atmosphere there, because it's something that may never happen in their lifetimes, right? You had Morecambe playing against Spurs at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, right? I think it's something that I think to all of us who've played Championship Manager or Football Manager in its various iterations, right? Taking a lower place team, yep, in the FA Cup, you know, being paired up against a Premier League team, playing at the Premier League Stadium, right? You know how much it helps your coffers for that season. literally, you know, it's basically, it could save your entire financial season, right? And also for me, from a nostalgic point of view, as a Liverpool fan, the 1986 FA Cup final was probably the starting point for me supporting Liverpool. Sliding doors moment, if Everton had won, I may be sitting down here supporting Everton, but thankfully I'm not. but yeah, to answer your question, you know, there's a whole lot of history in the FA Cup, but there's also some financial prudence that needs to be taken into consideration also for the big teams, you know, like, you know, if you're gunning for the league title, if you're gunning for the championship, the Champions League, you may have to make some sacrifices in the earlier games. Although, having said that, it's always good that the FA Cup final is after all the Premier League games are said and done, right? So you can have a proper preparation for that game, for the FA Cup.
It kind of gives you hope as well. When you go for FA Cup games, the fans can hope that it might cause the upset, even you as a neutral.
Yeah.
So there might be Champions League, you look at it, okay, Barca versus Bayern, it's going to leave the first leg, kind of tells you the whole story already in that sense. So I guess that's a bit of the old school romantic side of football, I would say.
Speaking of, you know, upsets, of course, over the weekend, Arsenal losing to Nottingham Forest, Tottenham struggling with Morecambe, Cambridge.
Newcastle,
beating Newcastle. Newcastle failing at the exams. It would be nice to see some upsets along the way. And I think also, especially in the final, when you know you have a team that's heavily favored to win and they don't. I think a couple of seasons, but come to mind a long time ago, you know, Crystal Palace versus Manchester United way back when. This was even when before Ian Wright played for Arsenal and he was with Crystal Palace and they held him to a replay. Of course, FA Cup final with the famous replays when the draws happened. And
even the Everton. One with Wigan defeating Man City.
Oh, yes.
Back then, right? Martinez, 3-5-2 Wigan.
Big one, yes.
Yeah.
And also,
even another small team that won was, I think, when Arsenal defeated Chelsea. There also was a shock.
He says with a straight face.
And of course, he's not here. I can get here to London defend jokes.
Nice one. But yeah, you know, having said that, the FA Cup is actually the, you know, when you talk about smaller teams, right? And of course, I support Blackburn and Blackburn is a smaller team these days. So I actually look to the cup competitions for some progress. And of course, they didn't make it past the third round this year, but it came to mind, this question came to mind when I kind of went, doesn't matter because, you know, it's more important that they maintain their form in the championship, in the championship push for the, you know, the Premier League place rather than win the FA Cup. But of course, you know, it'd be great if there's a fairy tale run and it's been, I don't know, I don't think a lower division side, like a second division or a championship side has won the FA Cup in a while. But yeah, but you know, wasn't that season when Wigan won it? Were they going to get relegated as well? Yeah, right?
Yeah, spot on. They got relegated.
Yeah, and there was this whole question about, okay, they got relegated and they qualified for Europe. So,
yeah, I think there was one season where Middlesbrough had that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And they were playing in Europe.
Sort of fond memories, although, you know, we don't support these teams, but they do present these little nuggets of, I guess, cool moments for...
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. Newcastle blew their chance to create that moment of history this season.
to do the double, get relegated and win the FA Cup.
Yeah. Or qualify Europe and play in Europe from the championship. La.
So they can buy Champions League caliber players.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Newcastle, Kel, you had a... we wanted to talk about their transfers or just January transfers in general because they had a couple of big moves.
Yeah, I mean, they've been linked to anybody and everybody under the sun, right? From Martial to Coutinho, Dembele, half of Barcelona's unwanted players are being linked to Newcastle, but they end up with Kieran Trippier for, I think it was like 12 million, which is actually dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Being put for 40 or even more recently, right?
Mm.
To me, I think like just looking at the transfer window, I think we'll see a lot of surprises. Like to me, Coutinho to Aston Villa, that was totally left field. No one saw that coming as well. And you know, now it talks of United, Martial wants to move, and the big wants to move. You know, all these players coming in. Do we expect to see any big signings coming in, or any, especially from the Newcastle side? Right, we know they need players who can survive the hard battles, the fights. But they're buying. They're looking at players from Liga, from La Liga, but I don't see those. Why would you leave a team that's going to qualify for Champions League or Champions League to come to Newcastle for relegation, right? So Kieran Trippier's answer was, I like a challenge. Okay, that's good, lah, you know. Somebody put 200,000 in your pocket, everybody loves a challenge overnight. but I said, no, I don't. Do you see Newcastle getting anybody else? Who will they actually need to survive in, this, like, in their battle? Because they just seem to get injured week in, week out. COVID is another issue that's plaguing them. I don't know. I just look at Newcastle and I go, who are they going to buy? You guys can help me out, solve this bill in my head, because I just wonder who is out there that can help Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, actually, with the situation now as it is, I mean, who would move in such an, you know, unstable climate unless you're really, I mean, moving to a bigger club.
You'll get the pay packet, but I think you're in a relegation scrap.
Yeah, exactly.
The relegation scrap, we've seen teams just like, I remember when Derby were at the bottom, they really rot and they didn't pick up less than 10 points or something at the end of the season, 11. You know, I don't know who can Newcastle bring in that they can leverage on, maybe who has Premier League experience, who's willing to fight, wants a place back. Lingard? Martial?
I think the way I see it is you won't get many people, you know, beating down a path to head to Newcastle if it's an outright purchase. Maybe for loans, because nobody wants to risk going to Newcastle and then be stuck at Newcastle playing in the Championship next season. If I was a player, you know, sitting on the bench, you know, itching to get some game time, maybe, you know, to be in the good eye of my national team coach, for example, with the World Cup round the corner end of this year, right? Then Newcastle might be an option, lah, you know, to at least, you know, get some game time going, hopefully get me selected for some of the upcoming international games. Bearing in mind, there are some crucial international games coming up, especially in Europe. Especially for countries who are looking to qualify from the playoffs for the World Cup. You have to look for players who are not getting playing time in the clubs that they are at right now.
Correct, yeah. But you need to look at clubs who are willing to sell. I think if the only deals they could absolutely be from and sell you at a price where they're not going to cutthroat you in that sense for Newcastle, because everyone knows Newcastle has money. Everyone knows because there's abundance of money. So I guess, me, I'm looking at it, I won't be surprised if I see more Barca players, the Umtiti and all these guys, you know, move to Newcastle and start being part of a team there, because, you know, they need the backup. They have numbers, I think, up front. Callum Wilson's injured. Saint-Maximin is also injured. You know, Fraser has not hit any of his Bournemouth form since he joined Newcastle. So to me, they just seem to be struggling in all the attacking places. But the names they're being linked to, sometimes you look at it, you just laugh. You get it. I get it. Media has to sell, clickbait and all that stuff. That's fantastic. You know, agents are pushing their players out to get more money or better contracts. I get it. But Milenko-Savage from Lazio linked to Newcastle? Seriously? You know, it just gets ridiculous. I look at Newcastle, I know if they want to survive, they want to be the richest team in the Premier League still. They've got to find someone. But the more I look at it, the days tick by, I don't see that happening, and I see them struggling. And even, I mean, Aston Villa is doing good business. Coutinho is one. So I don't know who else will be coming in next.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that whole situation, right, where you're facing relegation and stuff, a move like Philippe Coutinho to Aston Villa, does it seem like a right fit to you, Hyrule? Because, you know, Steven Gerrard, of course, legendary Liverpool player, now manager at Aston Villa. Philippe Coutinho also, I think he could have made a bigger name for himself if he had stayed under Jurgen Klopp. But now, back with Aston Villa, is that the right kind of personnel for that kind of fight? Because Villa themselves, you know, they're a couple of results away from the relegation battle, of course. I guess the point is, Newcastle being where they are and all Newcastle fans knowing that there's a chance of relegation, don't really want to be linked with the likes of, you know, Memphis Depay or whomever else, like half the Barcelona squad, you said, Kel. Yeah, so Hyrule, I mean, do you see any of, I mean, the big clubs, Liverpool's and the even United, City definitely, and Chelsea's, they all settled. They're not going to be making any big moves during this transfer window. So we're looking at, of course, Newcastle being the most interesting because they need players and they have the deep pockets. You know, and the likes of, you know, the rest who are going to be in a relegation battle and have maybe have some money to spend. You know, do you think this is the right? I mean, you know, all of us as fans, as, you know, people play Championship Manager when they were kids all the way till now. Of course, you know, you got some money, you go buy some better players to improve your squad. But, and of course, a real world, real life situation, wouldn't it be better then to just focus on the players that you have? Because, you know, Newcastle don't have a terrible squad. It's just that they have a bit of injuries here, a bit of injuries there. And I think that the thing they lack the most is just the desire. And we've seen that happen a lot with the time for those teams that get relegated, that the desire to really just want to fight for every point that they can possibly get in the Premier League. So what do you think, Hyrule, is buying the way out of, you know, attempting to buy the way out of relegation, the solution?
I mean, to your question on Coutinho, right? I think Coutinho at this point in time, he just wants to get back playing, right? At least get back into the reckoning of being in the Brazil squad. That's one. Or even be in a shop window for some other team, for some other prospect, you know, coming up. Aston Villa is a good option for him because, one, he'll be playing under Steven Gerrard. Having played with Gerrard at Liverpool, right? So he's assuming that, you know, Gerrard knows how he plays or how to use Coutinho to the best of his abilities, right? As opposed to trying to fit Coutinho into round holes, square pegs, you know, as the saying goes. Yeah, I think Aston Villa, they've been lacking someone to replace Grealish, right, ever since he left. Let's be honest, that entire team was built around Grealish for the past 3-4 years. So if Coutinho could serve that Grealish role, you know, it could be a match made in heaven, so to speak, for Aston Villa. Now, to your other question on whether buying is the right way out for a club, like you said, Newcastle do not have a bad squad, right? I mean, a lot of other teams out there also do not have a bad squad. Everton does not have a bad squad. Manchester United does not have a bad squad. But these teams have not been firing on all cylinders. They've not been, you know, performing to the best that, you know, they should be performing. Man U, for example, have gotten a new manager, right? Newcastle has got a new manager. Was there a new manager bounce? I don't think so. Not for Man U. Hardly there for Newcastle. Yes, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, Eddie Howe did bring Newcastle the first win of the season, right? But other than that, you know, it's you know, same old Newcastle. What's the next best solution? Trying to buy their way out. That has to be almost at the last resort, and that's the only solution they have right now. I mean, because it's in January, it's a possible solution, so they have to try it, I mean, if you don't try it, you're just gonna get the same results. At least if you try something and then it fails, the good thing about Newcastle is they have money to burn. At least at this point in time, it's a roll of the dice for them, expensive roll of the dice, but I guess it's one that they have to take.
Let's all get on the treadmill and start jogging our memory. Which has been the most surprising January transfer purchase for you in Premier League? From your time of watching Premier League in January transfer window, what was one player that moved and you went, huh? He actually got him or he shocked you? See the faces, all thinking now.
All cannot remember.
Okay, I'll start. Since I kind of threw the question and you guys weren't prepared for it. I would say Berbatov from Spurs to United.
Right.
Because that came at the very end of the transfer window and somehow they managed to get him and he was wanting to win. He was an equivalent of a Son Heung-min, Kerry Kane equivalent these days going to United and just strengthening their squad straight away. And he was vital and moving forward. He had a bit of flair and panache to United. So yeah, you guys, is anyone, anything that surprised you?
I guess if you remember the crazy January transfer window involving Liverpool and Chelsea.
I knew you could.
I wouldn't say it was surprising, but it was just crazy, Like, I think Liverpool fans knew the writing was on the wall for Torres. Some of us were probably hoping that, you know, Torres would stay because Suarez just came in as well.
Yep, what a combo that would be.
Yeah. But, you know, out goes Torres, in comes Andy Carroll. For reasons that didn't work out. But Suarez one did to a certain degree. But outside Liverpool, let me think. Aubameyang? Would you consider that surprising?
Yeah. Aubameyang, Ozil. I think Ozil was in Jan as well. Ozil was in Jan. I think it was about Aubameyang was surprising from Dortmund.
Yeah, I didn't think that he would go to Arsenal.
Yeah, you know, especially when he was considered at the top of his game and probably had his pick of clubs, right?
True.
I thought it was quite a coup for Arsenal to get him in and I guess it showed they still had some sort of pull, you know, in terms of like ambition and in being able to convince him. I'll throw a couple of strange ones.
Blackburn one.
Yeah, from Blackburn. I had to be from Blackburn. Okay. So I guess everyone will remember Benny McCarthy, but probably everyone would think
what African
happened to him after Blackburn, right? So yeah, so he was having a really bad season, 2009, 2010, and he moved to West Ham United. And although he had been, you know, good for the club, for a few seasons, and I would say that he probably had the best moments of his professional career at Blackburn. We managed to sell him off to West Ham for £2.25 million in 2010. The other big one was his teammate for a little while, Christopher Samba. If anyone remembers Christopher Samba. Moving to
defender,
but he didn't move away. The surprising move wasn't that he moved away from Blackburn, but he moved, from Anji Makhachkala to QPR for £12.5 million in 2013. And again, another pro player whose probably best days were in the Premier League with Blackburn Rovers, and then yeah, when you moved to QPR, it was quite strange because they paid quite a lot for him, and he had been at Angie. All due respect to the club, but not playing the highest level of football. In the best
QPR
of leagues.
QPR actually bought like Bosingwa, they bought Anton Ferdinand, all those players. They tried to bought to make like a super squad that failed miserably.
Yeah,
I think that's QPR.
They're in the championship now. Yes. So,
yeah, so, man. Yeah. That Torres one, I was like telling you the whole world, oh, Torres and Chelsea, we're gonna win it. Oh boy, was I in for a shock, especially that miss at Old Trafford. He's side foot that fools the hair, just misses it all. But he made it up. He's got the winner, he's got the decisive goal against Barcelona. Also gotten, he's a hero.
Yeah. Now that you reminded me, there's one particular transfer window, I think, for Liverpool that was a January transfer window that was quite significant. I think it's a 2013 one where we brought in Sturridge and Coutinho.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think it was Sturridge in the early part of January, and then later on.
Was it the Sturridge from Chelsea or Sturridge from Man City?
Sturridge was from Chelsea.
Chelsea, right?
Yeah. Chelsea. Just to get the Chelsea and Liverpool, you realize.
Yeah. I think that was the same season before that, you know, in the preseason, we brought in Victor Moses on loan.
Yeah, Victor Moses, Johnson, Raul Morales.
Raul Morales, yeah, Liverpool to Chelsea.
A lot of good luck, everybody, huh? So, Salah coming back, I give you someone else.
Speaking of transfers, right, let's turn our attention to local football. I think the news this past week has been Anu and Izwan Mahmud.
Anu.
landing on the shores of the Lion City Sailors. Here's the thing. It seems that Lion City Sailors are becoming just like Man City, buying all the good players, well, at least relatively good players, because of the money they have being backed by the C Group and Garena, right? Is this good for local football, you think? Bearing in mind that they will be representing Singapore, they'll be flying the Singapore flag in the AFC tournaments this season. Yeah, I mean, let's at the same time also talk about, you know, what the movements in the other clubs as well. I think, Cal, you've got quite a bit to say on Balestier Khalsa about this also, right?
I think, you know, everyone's talking about Lions DCLS and as good as they are, and they want players like Anu and all to maybe boss them to the park. I guess maybe they listen, or they kind of realize that the center of the pitch is actually quite weak. Lions DCLS, they don't have someone that marshal it, especially when Haris Harun has to play center back. You know, someone to just do the dirty work in the middle of the back four, the back three sometimes. So that's good, but I mean, buying the Lions DCLS, doing what they're doing, getting all the national, it's going to be basically Singapore Light. Is what the nickname is going to be eventually for Lions DCLS, Singapore National Team Light. But, you know, if you go to AFC and they don't perform, they don't get the results, they get hammered or something like that, you know how the local media is, how the local football fans, all those, the boo boys will come out again and say, this is the best you can put out there, you know, all the compilation of superstars that you have from the Singapore National Team to other players as well. I don't know, it seems very like the JDT model. They're trying to emulate and go that route. But what it also does, it depends on how you view it. It's a half full or half empty kind of glass scenario for you. For me, inside, I just view it as, it's good to bring all these players in. But if you don't hit what you need to hit the milestones in AFC, what does that mean? That none of our teams can actually do it? You know, that kind of thought process comes in. And also the fact that they become this team where all the other teams will be having additional fight in them to beat this Lions DCLS, to show the new national coach or whoever's going to come in that, look, we're also a good team, we're a solid team. But I think tactically it's going to be a bit of a headache because you have two first-choice goalkeepers. You've got a very lot of midfielders to choose from. How do you manage that? Oh, that's going to be a tactic play. Whether you look at the likes of Balestier, what they've done in bringing players from who've got experience playing in the SPL, you know, that brought like Delvinder from Tanjung Pagar over.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to add that, you know, Balestier is going the Bayern Munich route where they are buying the best from the rest of the clubs.
Yeah, and maybe that's what they need as well. I'm not sure. They've gotten away with signing a pretty big squad they have right now compared to where they were last year as well. And Balestier weren't a bad team. We see them play a few times, and I don't think they were a bad team, especially the game against Alliance City Sailors, right? They took it to the Sailors in a game where it was important for the Sailors to win, and now they got Ryo Taniguchi in as well, you know, and Hoshino as well. He's a forward as well. They've got him in, so I don't know. I think Balestier might be, and Balestier has no pressure. We have to understand that as well. Balestier has no pressure coming into the current season, so I won't be surprised if they do it, especially with Akbar Nawaz being the head coach and his experience and winning trophies and having success as well. So we'll see. To me, everyone's talking about Lions and Sailors, but I think in the SPL, it gives the other teams additional fight to defeat the Sailors. But you don't want the Sailors to be, you know, the old line, the Batman movie, where if you live long enough, you become the villain or something like that. So, you know,
nice.
Breaks the route for the underdog right now that they've beaten Albrecht Niigata. Will it be a turn where Singaporeans start supporting Albrecht Niigata to beat them?
Mm.
So that's how it is in football, right? We wanna see a team succeed, but when they succeed too much, we're like, we need to put you down the back or two and humble you in that sense. We'll see. It's interesting, but I don't know, man. Buying all these, it's a shock. Like, you bring national team players in. So we'll see. But no, Tampines Rovers is doing a bit of business. The Hougang Ghouls are doing a bit of business as well, bringing players who've played in the SPL. So it's interesting. I'm just looking at Tanjung Pagar, besides releasing their wonderful training kit that looks pretty nice by FPT. It won't fit me. I have to buy two jerseys and sew them into one. But other than that, I think it should be an interesting season. But I don't know. What do you guys think, Lions D Sailors? It's like I said, Singapore like to me.
Yeah, even compared to some of the rest of us on this podcast, right, you probably have a more casual interest in local football.
Right.
So what's your take on all this?
Yeah, no, I think when I saw the news that both Izwan and Anu had signed, it piqued my interest because, having recently, and I think this is usually the case with Singapore fans coming off the back of the AFF Suzuki Cup. Here's a couple of names that, you know, are top of mind right now, right, when it comes to the Singapore squad. And I think it's as much a marketing move as it is personnel or player move, adding to the quality of the squad. Not to say that these guys were signed just purely to, you know, for marketing reasons, but I also think it's to definitely they want to consolidate and strengthen their squad. And like you say, Kel, there are a couple of holes that they need to plug. You know, if these guys are available, then why not? You know, I think it checks all the boxes for them. In fact, as like a more casual sort of fan, it does make me more interested to find out whether when they're playing and go watch their games. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is with the Lion City Sailors is that just, you know, having spoken to the CEO like maybe a couple of months ago, they're looking to do a lot of interesting things. And of course, you know, as any big club would do, they try to reach out to the community and of course, they try to strengthen their squad. So it's good to see them still moving on that front. Because funny thing is that my youngest kid, after watching the Suzuki Cup, he wanted to go take football lessons. He still wants to take football lessons. So if you can imagine from that day we saw Singapore defeat Timor-Leste 2-0, which is like, I think, early December to today, there hasn't been a day where he has not taken the ball and started dribbling around the house. In fact, more than once, I've had to tell him to please stop kicking the ball because it's making a lot of noise. And I think the neighbors are going to, you know, complain. So,
That's good.
And the funny thing is, the closest, you know, football classes that we saw that were available for us and most convenient were actually by the Lion City Sailors Academy. So
this is the one at Mata Road, is it?
Yeah, okay, yeah. They're Mata Road, but they have, I think, a few venues that they they conduct their lessons for kids especially. They've reached out, I guess, you know, besides just their Mata Road Academy, they're looking at, you know, for instance, the one that we're looking at is at ITE Central, College Central in Ang Mo Kio.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess they have bothered to actually do this. I mean, of course, you can say, oh, of course they'll do that because they need to make some money and stuff like that. But I think it's good because they don't have to. They can just keep signing big players and not reach out to the community. But eventually that will fail in terms of, like, you know, just trying to, you know, then I have my kid asking me, Daddy, what is the Lion City Sailors, right? And why are they called sailors and funny things like that. But yeah, you know, so here's the marketing working, here's the team doing their thing. And it's funny because when you mention the Man City, Man City is also known to have gone out, reached out to the community, have the most expensive training academy in the world, if I'm not wrong, something like $220 million facility. So yeah, and develop young players. So you know, so far as the local scene goes, I think for me, Lion City Sailors, since they were first mentioned on our podcast and came onto my radar, they have done a good job, you know, of making their presence felt, at least locally.
So it's a bit disappointing, right, that Lion City Sailors are not able to play at Bishan Stadium this season.
So where will they play? Jalan Besar?
They have to play at Jalan Besar, apparently, because Bishan Stadium's pitch is still not fit for use after the EFF Suzuki Cup.
Pretty rummaged up and banged up, and the pitch looks so bad.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, Jalan Besar was a good, it's a good atmosphere. The Sailors, you know, we feel to mention the Sailors also, in terms of their merchandise, their jerseys and all, you pay a standard fee and you get a kit and you get a season pass as well last season, right? So it was them bringing in the fans. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. Maybe to capitalize on the Suzuki Cup, which will happen again this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's not a bad thing. Maybe, I guess, having players play with the same, play in the same league for about, you know, 20-something games.
Yeah.
That kind of, it might gel familiarity when they go to the national team. So we're trying to look at it from the positive side of it, but I also think it will raise the competition they face moving forward from the other teams, and especially the dark horses like Hong Kong United, Balestier, and anyone else that comes in.
Yeah.
But I think Lion City Sailors, if they're going to play in the AFC Champions League this coming season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the AFC rules state that they have to be on natural turf.
Oh,
and
right.
The only pitch that's natural turf is, of course, Sports Out.
Let's
right.
go.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get Gumball, Saka. Let's go.
Assuming, of course, that'll be interesting. I'm sure they get a lot of Japanese fans here for Gumball, Saka.
A lot of Singaporean Japanese also. Singanese fans will come out all of a sudden.
The season's probably going to kickstart in March. No real definite date set yet. Yep. But yeah, hopefully some confirmation will come out in the next couple of weeks or so.
But it's also good to see that the league players, actually the teams, getting sponsorships. Like United's getting sponsored from a physiotherapist organized company.
Nice.
All these things starting to gel. And maybe it was not... maybe having it back-to-back is a good thing for us. We keep the buzz and momentum going.
I'm just looking at the African Cup of Nations results so far this evening, as of recording today. Today is Monday. Senegal's game just ended and they won 1-0 because from a Sadio Mane penalty in the 90th minute plus 7 minutes of injury time.
See that? There's Liverpool plug also now started. First Blackburn plug, now Liverpool plug. I can't even plug Chelsea because Mendy had COVID, so he didn't play.
Supporting the team from isolation.
Hey, but the jerseys in the African nations, like I think, was it Mali and Zimbabwe? Those are really uniquely
beautiful
kids, man. Really, it's like it captures the essence of African kids, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. ESPN has this, if you go onto their site now, I think they got an article on the AFCON kits and they ranked it, right? And I have to say, the number one pick is very nice. The Comoros team kit, home and away by Macron. Comoros won't go far, but you know, team kits, at least they'll look good doing it. Anyway, guys, I think that's all for this week's podcast. Any final words before we look ahead to finally return to Premier League, hopefully this coming weekend, barring any postponements?
I just hope the United drama show continues. This father of football is going to revolutionize Premier League. Dudok, sit down, drink your kopi, don't talk. You know, the drama United never ends, man. It's nice to watch, but if you're a supporter United, my heart goes out to you. You must pulling your hair out, man. I don't know what else to say. Really, against Wolves, so the display was atrocious. Doing their hands in the air, kind of, you know. I think this is, and Luke Shaw being the most vocal. Who would have thought? Jones' performance, maybe he's a better match. that leg in Wolves. I don't, it's, I'm just waiting for the United show to just continue, and we'll see what happens with City, right? The COVID situation, we don't know the extent of it, wasn't reported much in a way, so we'll see.
Best time for City to get COVID, right?
Not that we do not advocate anybody getting COVID, nor do we COVID. We don't know COVID. COVID doesn't know us, thank God. You know, everyone else has gotten except City. So I'm just saying, that's all. We're just saying, just disclaimer.
Yeah, actually, you know, COVID aside, you know, of course it'll factor in, but it'll be nice to see the top few clubs close to each other again at the top, because right now it's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a false lead that City have. They deserve the lead that they have for sure, but it's more of a situation of, is this a result of not the fact that, you know, other teams have had players down with COVID, but more rather the schedule, right? Because the teams have depleted squads, they cannot compete. It might have thrown their rhythm off a little bit, but it also puts them a few games behind. So the lead that City has on the table looks a little bit exaggerated. But no, you know, I think it would be nice to see the top teams again, how it was maybe just before Christmas, going into the whole busy festive period, and the teams being neck and neck again. Because I don't think the likes of Chelsea deserve to be that far behind City, nor Liverpool, with Spurs on the up and up. I think it would be nice to actually see, it would be nice to see parity again in terms of like scheduling and in terms of competition. Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining me this week. I'll talk to you guys again next week. Till then, catch you guys again. Ciao. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.